was outstanding. Praise the Lord for it. I'll tell you one thing, put that up against some contemporary music right there. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. That was a blessing. I appreciate that. You know what helps make the difference is the lives behind the voices and how it's going forth with clarity and truth. And I'm talking about sincerity. Give me somebody who can sing like that from a sincere heart anytime you want to. You know what I mean? So praise the Lord for it. Exodus chapter 15 again tonight. Exodus chapter 15. I preached this morning on verses 1 through 21. We're preaching through this book together, just hitting things as we get to them. And we've come tonight to verse 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 27. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through verse number 27. Now keep in mind what we preached on this morning. They have just come off a spiritual mountaintop. They have just lifted their voice in praise. They've sung a wonderful, glorious song to their God who had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. Verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days, so it's 3 days later, in the wilderness, and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Now notice the word bitter, and right above it, the word waters. And tonight I want to preach to you on that subject, bitter waters. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this time that we've gathered. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the playing of the instruments. Thank you for the giving of God's people. And I pray now as we open the Word of God and preach the Bible that you help me to preach it with clarity and with compassion in my heart. If there's anything in my life that hinders you, please forgive me, remove it, get it out. Holy Spirit, take your Word, and I pray that you preach it to us through me tonight. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Get me out of the way, and may you get across what you have given to me in our study together. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord had been extremely good to his chosen people, Israel. The nation of Israel. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. He had set them free. And as we come to these verses, we're reminded of how the Israelites have sung a wonderful song to God for his mighty works on their behalf. We preached on that song this morning. You can go back and get it if you weren't here. I want to say that as we come to verse number 22, that things were going great. Life was on a spiritual mountaintop. However, as life typically is, their mountaintop didn't last very long. Notice in verse number 22, the Bible says they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Imagine a crowd this size in a desert and no water around. This was no doubt truly a big problem. They were thirsty and it was a legitimate need. They needed to find water. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, Israel is across the sea now. They've had a wonderful time of praise singing the song of Moses. They're redeemed people. You would think that from now on life would be a bed of roses and that they would be delivered from all their difficulties. There should not have been a cloud in the sky, a thorn along the path, nor a sigh from any of the congregation. However, they went 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and what happened to them? They thirsted. Boy, I tell you, he just had a way of just putting it down on the bottom shelf, you know. Finally, they came to a place, if you can imagine, 3 days, they're searching for water, can't find it. You can imagine that maybe they're starting to panic a little bit, and they finally look to a place and they see there's water there. You can imagine the excitement that they must have felt when they spotted that water after 3 days. They thought when they saw that water that their needs had been met and their thirst would finally be quenched and their needs would be met from the Lord. However, when they tasted that water, it was bitter. They couldn't stomach it. They couldn't swallow it. Get this, even though it seemed good to the sight, to the taste, they couldn't take it. May I say to you, what a major disappointment this must have been to the Israelites. The people began to murmur against Moses and wanted to know what they would be able to drink. This is found in verse number 24. They began to murmur. Now remember that these are the same people who just 3 days earlier were lifting up their voice to God in praise. But right now, they are at a place of bitter waters. No doubt these bitter waters are a picture of the trials and tribulations and the disappointments, if you will, in the lives of God's people. You know, God has been good to all of His children. He's been good to me, and I would say that you would agree that He's been pretty good to you too. But the fact of the matter is He has shown His mighty power to deliver us from the eternal damnation. He has delivered us from Satan and brought us into the family of God, and we're on our way to heaven. However, we need to understand that this life is full of times when the waters that we approach are not always going to be sweet waters. Sometimes the waters that we taste are going to be bitter. As a matter of fact, we can be praising God for His goodness one day and the next day be hit with a bitter water experience. Something that you just cannot swallow. Something that you just cannot stand the taste. Something that majorly disappoints you. One man put it this way: problems and trials of considerable magnitude were permitted in the lives of the Israelites and are also permitted in our lives in order to reveal the magnitude of God's help. If our trials are always small, we will not have opportunity to see God do a mighty work which can cause our faith to become much greater. The flesh does not want big trials, but without big trials, we will miss seeing many big things from God and will not grow much in spiritual strength. Now it's these times of bitter waters, these times of the major disappointments, the trials and tribulations of life, that I want to focus on in this service. And as we bring out these thoughts about bitter waters, disappointments, can't swallow it, it's nasty to you, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Matter of fact, tonight, I want to bring out 6 thoughts about these bitter waters. And I want you to ask God, God, show me something tonight that I need. By the way, some of us may need something that we don't know we need just yet. The fact of the matter is this came to them and they needed it right then. 6 things I want to share with you about bitter waters, about disappointments, about trials and tribulations and troubles in the life of God's chosen people. Let me give you 6 things quickly. Let me erase that word there. Number one, bitter waters, now get it now. Every one of these thoughts are thoughts of application. Number one, bitter waters can come while following God. They can come while following God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In verses 22 and 23, we've already read this, but it says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they came. Question, who brought them there? God did. Now stay with me here. The first thing that the Lord showed me about bitter waters is how they came to the place of bitter waters as they were following God's leading in their lives. See, we know from Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, just a couple of chapters prior to this, that God's presence in a cloud by day and a cloud of fire by night, if you will, a pillar of fire by night, was leading them in the way. Moses was leading them, but God was leading Moses, you see. And we understand that as they were leading, being led by the Spirit of God, being led by the presence of God, that these bitter waters were in the pathway that God took them on. Now, it's important for us to understand what I'm getting across just with this first point right here. The first point here is God's people are not exempt from bitter waters. The point is that as one man said, obedience is no exemption from trials.
One man put it this way: history has again and again shown that the field of duty has been the field of danger, and that the way which has conducted directly from earth to heaven has been beset by temptations and difficulties too great for human strength. You may be right even when the heaviest trial is oppressing you. In other words, you may be losing your property, your health may be sinking, your prospects right here may be clouded, your friends may be leaving you one by one, yet in the midst of such disasters, your heart may be steadfast in faithfulness to God. What I'm saying to you is this: if you're in a time of bitter waters tonight, it does not necessarily mean that God is chastising you. Now, can I say this to you? If your heart's not right with God, God could be using bitter waters to chastise you. Because Hebrews chapter 12 teaches that those whom he has received, those whom he loves, he chastises. So God can use bitter waters to spank his children. He can do that. But this first point I want you to see is that bitter waters are not always the chastising hand of God. Can I remind you that the Israelites were following the cloud of God's presence, and God had a stop on his pathway, that if they were choosing where they would go, they would never have gone to that place. Never. We need to understand this. By the way, somebody put it this way: disappointments are God's appointments. Boy, I like that. Somebody else put it this way: God sends no needless trials. God sends no needless trials. Notice I said God sends those. Psalm 34:19, get this verse: many are the afflictions of the righteous. Did you hear what I just said? Not me, what the Holy Spirit of God said in his word. Many are the afflictions, the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Number one, we need to understand that bitter waters can come while following God. Number two, bitter waters, disappointments, trials, troubles, tribulations, something that tastes foul in your mouth, something you can't swallow, something that's just bitter in your mouth. Hey, number two, those waters can come unexpected. We see this in verse number 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters. You know what that tells me? They tried to. That tells me when they got there that they thought those waters were pure waters, but they found out they could not drink of them. During their three-day journey into the wilderness, the Israelites found no water, and then they came to a place where water was found, you see. And no doubt this must have been a relief to them. Finally, we're going to get some relief, finally some water. But their expectations were quickly, and may I say this, unexpectedly turned to bitterness. What they thought would bring them satisfaction unexpectedly brought them bitterness. Ever been there, friends? By the way, the point is how times of bitter waters can come unexpectedly. As a matter of fact, sometimes they can come as a shock. They can almost floor you. One thing we need to understand is that life is uncertain. One of the certainties about life is that life is uncertain. We can make our plans, and suddenly, unexpectedly, our plans can crumble at our feet. This is what we learn here. By the way, James chapter 4, don't turn to it. Just stay right there in Exodus, because that's where we're plowing tonight. But in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, listen to this. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. And all such rejoicing is evil. In other words, that passage there is saying this: go to, wait up, stop, you all who say that today and tomorrow we will go into such a city, we will buy and sell and get gain. This is what we're going to do today. This is what we're going to do tomorrow. God says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, it vanishes a little way. Hey, right here he's saying, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And he said, now you're rejoicing in your boastings. Your boastings of I will do that, I will do that. He said, and all such rejoicings are evil. We learn from the Word of God here, friends, from this story and also elsewhere in Scripture, that these times of bitter waters can come unexpected. It can knock you off your feet. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Number one, bitter waters can come while you're following God. Number two, bitter waters can come unexpectedly. But number three, bitter waters can cause you to forget how good God's already been to you. Bitter waters can cause you to forget how good God's already been to you. For instance, in verse number 24, notice in the people murmured. What people murmured? The ones who just in verses 1 to 21 were singing and lifting up their voices in song to God. God, you've been so good to me. Look what you've done for me. You've delivered me. Hey, you're my strength. You're my song. You've become my salvation. 3 days later, they're complaining. They're murmuring. What's the point here? The point here is that it says that Israel murmured against Moses concerning these bitter waters. Interesting thing is how these same people just finished singing praise song to God just 3 days prior to this. And in that praise song, we heard them glorifying God for His power, glorifying God for His goodness, glorifying God for His provision and how He took care of them. However, just 3 days later, during their time of bitter waters, their praise for God's goodness had been exchanged for their murmuring and complaining. God's goodness had seemingly been forgotten during this time of bitter waters. See, their eyes in verses 1 to 21 were glued on God and their heart was erupting with praise. But in verse number 24, their eyes is on the bitter waters and their heart is murmuring and complaining. They had their eyes on their circumstance. And because of that, they forgot how good God had already been to them. By the way, it's easy to do that. I'm not preaching at folks tonight who have bitter water experiences. Say, shame on you. I'm not saying that because, friends, it is normal to have your eyes on your circumstances. That is normal. Doesn't make it right, but it's normal. But it doesn't change the fact that how good God has been to you, that has never changed one moment in time. And all I'm saying to you here is the point. Here is how times of disappointment, times of pain, times of trials, times of tribulations, times of disappointment, times when you thought that water was sweet but it was bitter in your mouth, can cause you, if you're not careful, to forget how good God has already been to you. Can I say this to you? Everything outside of an eternity in the lake of fire is God's mercy and God's grace. Everything. Everything. And if we will stop and consider, stop with me now, think about it. Go on your mind here a little bit. Let it wander upon God. God has been good to us, friends. And if you'll be honest, God has been good to you too. God has already been good. And I'm telling you that if you're in bitter waters tonight, or if you find yourself in bitter waters, don't let it cause you to lose sight of how good your God is to you now. In 3 days, the Israelites forgot what they had sung about God. Don't let this happen to you. Charles Simeon put it this way, and I quote, "Who that had heard the devout songs of Israel at the Red Sea would have thought that in 3 days they could not so totally forget their mercies and indulge such a rebellious spirit?" But he goes on to say, but look within and see whether after an occasional exercise of religious affections, you have not within a still shorter space of time, he's talking about all of us, been hurried into the indulgence of the most unhallowed tempers and the gratification of a spirit that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You ever come off a spiritual mountaintop? God's been so good to me. But then a trouble hits you and you find yourself, what is God doing to me? Why is this happening to me? At times like that, it's just like the Israelites here in Exodus 15, verse 24. The same God who was so good to them, they don't understand this. Man, I'm starting to get ahead of myself here a little bit. They don't understand what God's doing. They don't know the reason God has brought them there. All they can see is that they have an immediate need. They don't understand this. Why would God send us here? Why would God lead us here? And before they realize it, without trusting God and trusting His leadership, they begin to question and murmur and complain. And if you're not careful, times of bitter waters can help you do the same. Start questioning God, murmuring about God, the God who's been so good to us. During times of bitter waters can sometimes be the object of our criticism. By the way, you don't ever have to say a word to have a critical spirit, friends. You don't ever have to speak a word to have a critical heart. And we see that these bitter waters, number three, can cause us to forget how good God's already been. That's number three. We're halfway home. Let me give you number four. Bitter waters, number four, can be made sweet. They can be made sweet. We see this in verse 25. Notice it. And he, Moses, cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now, I know what some people think I'm going to preach here, and I'm not going to preach it. You think I'm going to preach the tree is the cross? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to argue with somebody who does, because I can see that. That's no doubt an application, no question. That the cross, the tree thrown into the bitter waters, make it worthwhile. No question, but I'm not preaching it that way. I'm preaching it the way that God spoke to me. Matter of fact, I was planning on bringing that out. And I'm going to mention it, but God changed it right when I was typing this message. He said, this is what I'm showing you, son. When the Israelites murmured against Moses, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. See, by casting in that tree that God told him, the waters that were bitter to their taste became sweet to their taste. The power of God had made the difference that day. Stay with me here now. May the Holy Spirit show you what he showed me. The point here is how bitter waters can be made sweet when you see God's power in it and you see God working in it. You see God moving. It's interesting to note how the tree thrown into the waters had been planted by God a long time before the Israelites had ever gotten there. Now think about this thought. One person put it this way: years before Israel arrived at Marah, God caused a seed to germinate in the very place where they would need it. He looked ahead and prepared a way before a way was ever needed. See, while some teach this tree is a picture of the cross of Christ, and others try to teach that this tree is a picture of the submissive will to God, the way the Lord spoke to me is how these bitter waters were made sweet after God worked in the midst of them. In other words, sometimes it is in the bitter waters of life when you see the working of God on your behalf the most. The bitter waters are times when God demonstrates his power and presence among us the most. See, when you feel the presence of God so real during these times of bitter waters, he can truly turn those bitter waters to the sweetest waters you've ever known. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Are you getting it? I'm saying to you that God, even before you ever get to Marah, God has planted a tree there for you. He's already prepared what you need. And when you get there, you may not see a way until you fall on your face like Moses did. And when Moses fell on his face and cried out to God, God said, "There it is, son." The tree was there all along. But Moses didn't know that's what God prepared until in the privacy of his own heart, in his time of communication with God, while he's drawing strength from God, God opened his eyes and said, "See that tree? I planted it years ago just for this time. Take it down, throw it into the waters, and this time you will see my mighty power. And what was bitter to the Israelites, I'm going to make it the sweetest waters they've ever tasted." Can I tell you tonight that bitter waters can be made sweet? They can be made sweet when God works, when God moves, when God's power gets in it and you see God's presence all around and God works in such a way where you say no man could do that, God did that, and that's the sweetest time that I've ever had in my life. We've heard our preacher how many times say from this pulpit that his times when he found out he had prostate cancer and how he had to go for 25 days, every day, 25 days. He said, I've been praying for a long time. God, let me see another old-fashioned revival. And he said, in my own thoughts, if you will, he was expecting one to break out in the church here. But he said, God never answered it that way, but he answered it in my own heart through his cancer. And he said, for 25 days, God used the chuck wagon gang in his life. I have a precious friend. And 25 days, he said he'd put that song in and the Holy Spirit of God would move in his vehicle, and he had a 25-day revival. Let me tell you one reason he did, because he went to God during his time of bitter waters. And when he went to God during his time of bitter waters, God gave him a tree. And that tree made that time of bitterness become one of the sweetest times he's ever known. I don't know what tree he has for you during your time of bitterness. I don't know what the tree it is. I can't tell you it's that tree. I can't tell you it's that. He's going to use that or that person or this person or that sermon or that. I can't do that, but God can. Because God's the one that planted that tree a long time before you ever knew you'd even be at the waters of Marah. God's planted it there. And he wants you to fall on your face and beg God to show you. And he'll say, see that tree over there? It took years to come up. It took years, but I planted it for you a long time ago. Because I knew when I was going to lead you that I was going to lead you right to this place and you're going to need that tree, and I just waited until you asked me before I showed it to you. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I don't know everything. I know that. There's a lot I don't know, but I know one thing. I know that the bitter waters of life, God can make them the sweetest waters you've ever tasted. I know he can. I know he can. When my wife lost the baby, this is several years ago. She wasn't very far along, but it was a real trial in our life, a real time of bitter waters. And I was in St. Louis wanting to crawl through the phone to get to her. You've heard this story over and over again. But I'm going to tell you, my wife told me that she felt at that moment, I'm talking about the day that she lost the baby, she felt at that moment, she told me with her own mouth, over the phone, I couldn't get to her. I wish I could. I was 11 hours away. But she said, I feel that there's 10,000 angels in this room with me. I feel that God's presence is so real. And I'll tell you one thing, she's here tonight, and if she'd get up and testify, I guarantee you she'd say, I'm not glad I had to go through that. I'm talking about physically, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, because it was during that time when I felt God's presence more than I've ever felt it before. This is helping somebody. You need to understand that those bitter waters don't have to stay that way. God can turn them sweet. Let me give you two more things. Number five. Bitter waters, fifthly, can prove us. They can prove us. We see this in verse 25. Notice the language. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. You know what that word prove means? It means test. There he tested them. You know what's interesting here? That this verse tells us that at these bitter waters, God proved his children, his people. Their faith and obedience to the Lord was put to the test during this time. What do you mean their faith and obedience to the Lord? It's interesting, right before it says he proved them, he says there he made them a statute and an ordinance. What's a statute? What's an ordinance? It's an order. It's a command. Interesting, he's made the water sweet, and at the time of bitter waters, God gave them a command to obey. You know what he's doing? He's saying, you just going to obey me when it's sweet? Well, you're going to obey me even if it's bitter. Boy, he knew how to take his children to school, and he still does, friends. I'm telling you, he's saying right here, I'm going to prove you at the bitter waters whether, number one, you will submit to my will and trust me, and number two, whether you're going to obey me whether the waters are bitter or the waters are sweet. Now, what am I saying here? One man put it this way, God sends us trials to prove our faith. Few things so test our faith as bitter experiences. We may talk a good line, as did the Israelites in singing the song of victory at the Red Sea, but a mara of bitter experience will quickly reveal just how strong our faith is. Maras can also strengthen our faith in God as we witness how He's able to take the bitterness out of our lives. Miss Lashley put it this way, difficult times that are bitter to our souls put our belief in the loving sovereignty of God to the test. Troubles many times reveal what lives in our heart. You know, it's easy to say, I believe God. In verses 1 to 21 of chapter 15. It's easy to say, I'll obey God. In verses 1 to 21 of chapter 15. God says just 3 days later, okay, you've praised me, I appreciate it. Let me see how real it is. Will you obey me even when you're not on the mountaintop? Will you obey me even when the water in your mouth is bitter instead of sweet? How strong is your faith, Israel? God sometimes allows bitter waters to prove us to see if we are willing to trust and obey no matter what comes in our lives. The fact of the matter is this, some have quit on God because of bitter waters. There are some in this church, I have nobody in mind in particular, I promise I don't. But in a church this size, no question, it's happened sometime since the founding in 1779. There have been some folks who used to be faithful to church that now you cannot find them. And if you ever pinpoint them down, which I do, if you know somebody like that, don't pinpoint them down, okay? But if we did pinpoint them down and ask them, say, what happened? They would say, let me tell you what happened. Everything was going fine until. And I don't care what comes after until, in my mind, it's a bitter water experience that I'm talking about. And they quit on God. God is proving the Israelites here because He knows what's ahead for them in the future. There's a promised land to conquer. There's giants that you're going to be facing. And I'm proving you here, and I'm letting you know here, that life for my children is not always a bed of roses. It can prove us. Psalm 66:10, listen to this. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith. Did you get that? The trial of what? Your faith. The trial of your faith. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Job 23:10, boy, if anybody was ever tested and proven, boy, it was Job. Job 23:10, after all this had taken place in him, he said this, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We're looking at bitter waters. What are we looking at? We're looking at, number one, they can come while you follow God. They can come unexpectedly. They can cause you to forget how good God's already been to you. They can be made sweet by the power and presence of God. They can prove us. And finally, they can reveal more about our God. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 26. And said, this is God speaking, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Notice this now, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the most important things concerning bitter water experiences comes out in this verse. Notice how at the end of the verse, the Lord identified himself, get this now, with a brand new name. A name they had never heard. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is a reference to the name Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. The word Rapha means one who cures, one who heals, one who restores. In other words, get this, God revealed more of himself to his people through this bitter water experience. They learned another name about their God. They learned another facet, another character quality. The point is during times of bitter waters, we learn more about God. We get to know our God better through these trials. One person put it well by saying if Israel never faced this bitter time, they would have never known this aspect of God's character. Just as Job would have never known that God could restore him unless he first lost everything. Just as Lazarus would have not known the joy of life if he hadn't died. Mary and Martha would have not known that Jesus was the resurrection and life unless they had first known grief. And what I'm saying is that the Lord uses the bitter episodes of life to reveal himself more fully to his children. When we stand at the bitter waters of our maras, and we will, God help us to know that he is on his throne. He is in control. God help us to look for his hand and waiting provision. It's through the times of bitter waters that we learn more about our God. He wants to reveal that no matter what we face, he's the answer to our need. It's almost as if he's saying in the first part of verse 26, because he's already healed the waters, and he said, I'll keep these diseases from you if you'll obey me. It's almost like he's saying something like this. Brother Brad was talking about this, and God used this. It's almost as if God is saying this. You see what I just did for the waters? I'll do the same thing for you if you stay right with me. In other words, God is showing to his people through the time at Marah that he is the Lord that heals them. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9, here's what Paul said. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he, God, said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, get this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And even the Apostle Paul said this, talking about his troubles and tribulations. He said, that I may know him. That I may know him. If anybody knew Jesus, I believe it was Paul. But even Paul said, I want to know him a little bit better. God many times teaches us more about who he is at the bitter waters than he does at the sweet waters. Now, I'm at the conclusion, right there it is. That says conclusion in all capital letters. I'm about done. But I'm not going to stop here with this. We could stop right there and say, you know, that's enough to be willing to take a trip to the bitter waters to learn more about God. But the chapter doesn't end there. As a matter of fact, verse number 27, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70, that's 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. See, as we come to a conclusion here tonight, let us remember that life is full of bitter waters. It really is. The disappointments and trials of life can come at any moment. Job chapter 14, verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 5, 7 says, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. You never know when those troubles are going to hit you. However, we see this chapter does not end with the Israelites at the bitter waters. After the Lord revealed more of himself there to them and made that bitter water sweet, he took them to another place. And that place is called Elim, where they found 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. In other words, here's how God spoke to me as I'm concluding, that the bitter waters of life will not last forever. It wasn't their permanent dwelling place. J. Vernon McGee put it well by saying this, there's a Marah along the pilgrim pathway today, But friend, there is also an Elam. God's plan for usefulness always leads to Mara and to Elam. Joseph, you remember, had that experience. Moses did, Elijah did, David did, Adoniram Judson did, John G. Patton did, and I'm sure you and I will also have that as well. Beyond every Mara, there's an Elam. Beyond every shadow, there's an Elam. Beyond every cloud, there's the sun. Beyond every shadow, there's the light. Beyond every trial, there's a triumph. And beyond every storm, there's a rainbow. George Matheson wrote, "I traced the rainbow through the rain." This is the way God leads us. All of these things happen to Israel. For examples. For us. Can't improve on that statement, friends. And I want to reiterate right here as I close that these bitter water experiences, hey, they can come while you're following God. They can come unexpected. They can cause us to forget God's goodness. They can be made sweet by God. They can prove us and they can reveal more about God. But I'm so glad I'm here to tell you that no matter how bad the bitterness tastes, no matter how bad it may feel to you, no matter how terrible it is on you, if you're a child of God, Mara's not the end. There is an Elam. Stay the course. And before you know it, it may be heaven. I'm not preaching that God has a physical Elam for you. I'm talking spiritual terms. I'm not saying that God's going to heal you. I'm not saying that God's going to take that away. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this for a child of God. No trouble is going to be an eternal habitation. It will not last forever. I'm looking forward to Elam. I'm looking forward to finding a place upon God's leading where we find all of those wells of water. 70 palm trees. And God says he calls them to encamp there. Put your tents down here, boys. We're going to stay a little while. Now I ask you, as Miss Carol comes and begins to play, Brother Mike comes and prepares for the invitation, please, you're listening so well, just look right up here at me, please. I can sense the Holy Spirit of God moving. Maybe he's moving in your life, but I can sense him moving. And I want to ask you some questions. When she gets prepared, she can begin to play. Is God your God? Are you his chosen people? Are you a spiritual Israelite? You say, if not, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. That's the immediate need. But tonight in this book of the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God inspired it right after the song. Song of praise, they wound up at the bitter waters of Mara. Oh my, maybe they thought in the opening part of the chapter in the song that they had learned everything there was to learn about God. You just see God saying, boy, I appreciate those stanzas you sung to me. I appreciate you calling me that and that and that. But one thing I didn't hear in that song is you're my healer. So let me just tell you something else. Let me prove it to you. Let me show it to you. There's two types of Christians here tonight, those who are at the bitter waters and those who are not. And I'm here to say that if you find yourself experiencing bitter waters, they can come while you're following God. It doesn't mean your heart's not right. Now, you need to make sure it's not that. You understand what I'm preaching to you? Bad things happen to good, godly people, friends. You need to understand that those bitter waters can come unexpectedly, and some of it did for you, didn't it? Some of you came in here tonight, and this time last week, your waters were sweet, but now they're bitter. Don't let it cause you to forget the goodness of God. God can use it to prove your faith and even give you more commands to say, you know, I know it's bitter, but will you trust me? Will you keep obeying me?
just trying to build your faith. God can show you at that time of bitter waters more about Himself. Show you another name that maybe you never knew. And I want to end by saying, always keep in mind, no matter how bitter the taste, tomorrow is not the ending place and resting place for God's people. God has an Elam. And my, when you get there, you can finally rest. Looking forward to that, aren't you? How is God using this? What is He using it for in your life? May God help us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just a moment? Maybe say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest. This message was for me. I am living a time of bitter waters. God knows it. And this message was for me. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You say, this message was for me. No question. You got your hand raised. I want you, Lord, I want you to listen to me closely. That's how much God loves you. He has led your pastor as he's preaching through books of the Bible. As your pastor studied that passage, the Holy Spirit of God opened it in such a way that He showed it to me in this way that I preached it. It is about bitter water experiences. And He had you in mind. He wanted to help you. As we begin to sing in just a moment, come talk to Him about it. If you need to be saved, come talk to Him. Matter of fact, you just stay seated. I'm going to ask Brother Mike to begin to sing. If God is speaking to your heart, if God is probing you to do this, not for any other reason, but if you feel God would have you to come, as Brother Mike sings.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share,
but
our toil He doth richly repay.
If you wouldn't mind to do this, Miss Jessica Berry's here. This is Diane and Terry Edwards' granddaughter. Her mother's here tonight. God bless her. She's young. She's a mother. She found out just a little while ago that she's got cancer. And she has some tests on the day after Christmas. We're going to trust that the Lord has gotten all of it. She's come forward. This message is no doubt spoken to her. If several of your ladies would come and just surround her right here. She's right here to my right, your left here. If you'll come and surround her right here. Miss Judy's here with her. Her grandmother's here with her. Just surround her here. We'll pray for her here in just a moment. Just keep on playing. I like hearing you play. I want you ladies to stay right there. We're going to end in prayer right here. While the ladies are gathered there, I'd like for Noah and his family to stand, if you don't mind to do that. Shannon and Katie and Noah, you'll stand just a moment. Brother Brad, you can stand right there with them. Little Noah. Amen. What an exciting young man this is. His mom and daddy had the privilege. This was after the Lord's Supper, I
believe that he began to ask questions. And at home, the privacy of their home, they didn't push him. They didn't do any of that. He started it all. And they had the privilege of leading their little boy to Jesus Christ. He knows he's saved. I've talked to him myself, and he knows more about the gospel than a lot of people in Tri-Cities do. That's the truth. And I believe with all my heart that this young man has trusted Christ as his Savior, and he's coming to make this public. What a testimony to Mom and Dad, and for Mom and Dad. Appreciate you bringing him up in the ways of God. You know what this means? This means you're going to get to go to heaven someday. Isn't that great? He's shaking his head. Daddy, Uncle, that's a blessing, isn't it? And we're so happy for you. God bless you. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We'll talk to him about baptism, our children's discipleship program. I think I gave that to you. Work through that with him. That'll be good. We're proud of you, young man. God bless you. We're so glad you're here. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Ask God to help Jessica, help her mom, help her grandmother. Help the family. Our Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege to pray. I thank you, Lord, that she was here tonight to hear this message. And I pray you'll help her, Lord. No question, as her heart is scared, she's frightened. As a young lady, not sure what the future holds. Lord, I thank you that we know who holds the future. We know that at these bitter waters, you have already planted a tree a long time ago that would be just what she needs. Reveal that tree to her. That tree could be another Christian. It could be a sermon. It could be a song. It could be a combination of things. But I pray that you help her to pour her heart and life out to you in the privacy of her own personal prayer closet. And Holy Spirit, would you open her eyes to what she needs? Trust you. Help her to obey you no matter what. Keep doing right. Bless her now, I pray. Give her peace. Bless your mom, her sister, her grandparents. Bless your little baby girl. Holy Spirit of God, hover around her. And as her pastor in her local church, that she's a member of, we unite together and we ask, if it be your will, I ask that you divinely heal her. We know that you can. No matter what you choose to do, build her faith. Help her to learn more about you now than she ever has. Out shining like silver and like gold. Looking back at this time and say, it was there at the bitter waters of Marah that God proved himself to me. Bless now, I pray. Keep us true to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's a good God. His way is always right. And if he so chooses, it can be gone like that. But if he doesn't choose that, the way that he leads you in is the way that he reveals
what he's trying to reveal about himself. And you'll be able to teach me some things at the end of this experience. Amen or not, friends? This is the end of the service. I don't even know how to close it. But I'm excited that the bitter waters of Marah can be made sweet by our God. And that Marah is not the end. There's an Elam in sight with 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees that you'll be able just to take it easy and enjoy the shade and drink of the water and experience the goodness of God. So may the Lord bless you as you have a great Christmas. Behave yourselves out there, and I'll see you next Sunday, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here. Some of you ladies would like to come and hug on her here a little bit. Help yourself, okay?